When I was a boy, my parents owned a shack in the Grampians. It was near Mackenzie Falls, if any of you know Mackenzie Falls. And well, it was the Christmas holidays, we used to go up there and enjoy life in the Grampians. And one of our favourite activities was fishing, either in Mackenzie Creek, just 100 metres or so away, or in Lake Wartook, about 5 kilometres away. The best time for fishing was either early in the morning or in the evening. And if we were fishing early, our dad would come in to the bedroom and he'd say, "Wake up, boys, time to get up." In the gospel for today, we hear Jesus' wake-up call. It's urgent and powerful. And Jesus calls to his fellow countrymen, and he calls to you and me. A new day is beginning. God's promised kingdom is on the way. Time to wake up. Time to get up. Why do we need to wake up? What's wrong with sleep? Well, from a health perspective, sleep's a very good thing. I heard the other day that even old guys like me need 8 to 9 hours sleep a day. But from a spiritual perspective, sleeping is dangerous. It's like sleeping while you're driving a car. You're about to suffer badly. Spiritual sleep is being deaf to God, and that's a very dangerous thing. So wake up, get up. Jesus, the Son of God, is calling, and the first thing he calls you and me to do is to repent. Now, to repent is not just to feel sorry, not just to regret how things have turned out. The Hebrew word for repent is shub, and shub means change direction. Stop going the direction that you want to go, and do a U-turn and turn right around and face God. That's what shub means, repent. The Old Testament reading for today, we hear the story of how the people of Nineveh repented. The people of Nineveh were notorious or infamous for their cruelty to other people, and for their greed as well. But amazingly, in response to Jonah's preaching, and in response to the threat of destruction of their city, they changed their practices. They gave up their greed and cruelty, at least for a while. But they didn't really turn to God. Real repentance is turning away from yourself and what you want and turning to God and what God wants. And baptism is an expression of repentance. It doesn't matter whether it's infant baptism or adult baptism. Baptism is about dying, dying to yourself. You die in the waters of baptism. You die to selfishness and sin. You die in order to live for God and live under God. But this initial repentance or conversion must be accompanied by ongoing repentance. Martin Luther expressed this very well in the first of the 95 theses that he posted to the door of the Wittenberg Church in 1517. And the first of the 95 theses went something like this. Luther said, "Repentance isn't to be just a one-off, a once-in-a-lifetime thing or once-in-a-while sort of thing. Repentance is to be a continual thing, even a daily thing. Every day you need to repent. Why? Because there's still sin inside you. and it tugs away at your heart. And besides that, you live in a sinful culture. And being in a sinful culture is like being at the beach and standing there and feeling this rip, this sort of undertow, trying to carry you out to sea. A sinful culture is tugging at you, trying to carry you away from God. And that's why in almost every service, as we did this morning, we have a time of repentance, and usually right at the beginning. And for daily repentance, I sometimes use the old words that I had at confirmation, the confirmation vow. I renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways, and I dedicate myself to you, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Staying spiritually awake requires ongoing repentance. Right. Second thing Jesus calls us to do is to believe the good news. And the good news is that God has come to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to free us from the power of sin, death, and the devil, and to be the king and ruler of our lives. He is to sit upon the throne of our hearts. And to do all this, Jesus stood in our place. He took our sins upon himself. He paid the penalty for our sin, and then he rose in victory on the third day. He did all this so that we can be children of God, that we can have life in all its fullness, life with God now and life with God forever. This is what Jesus calls us to believe. And Luther expressed this very beautifully in his explanation to the second part of the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to read that together now. Can we have that on the screen, please? Let's read it together. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost he has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. All this he has done that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. All right, this is what Jesus calls us to believe. And when we believe this and trust in Jesus, we are no longer spiritually asleep, we are spiritually awake. All right, the third thing that Jesus calls us to do is to follow me, he says. And we read in the gospel that Jesus saw fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John, and he called to them, come and follow me. And immediately they followed him. So belief in Jesus is not just a matter of, you know, agreeing with a nice statement like that, not just giving it a mental tick. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus. It's trusting in him, obeying him, following him each day. Now, Simon and Andrew responded to Jesus' call by leaving their nets, following him immediately. And James and John responded to Jesus' call by leaving their father in the boat with the hired hands and following him. We see here that Jesus' call is more important than anything or anyone else in your life. He's the king. He rules your life. His call takes priority over anything or anyone else, business, pleasure, marriage. And the New Testament says even mourning, even the very important duty, particularly for Jews, of being there to bury your loved ones. None of these things are bad. In fact, all these things are good. But the call of Jesus trumps them all. Now, for some of us, following the call of Jesus means that we leave behind our family and country and go somewhere else to serve him. And that's what my wife and I did some years ago, many years ago. We went off to Papua New Guinea. That's what our son Nick did as well. But for most people, following Jesus doesn't mean leaving where you are. It means staying where you are and living in a new way. It means being salt and light in that place. It means making a godly difference to the people around you, to those in your family, those in your neighborhood, those in your cycling club, those in your church. When we repent, believe the good news and follow Jesus, the kingdom of God comes to us. God rules over our lives through his Spirit. And serving God and doing his will, our lives get meaning, our lives get purpose, and we get peace. Now, I'm sure you've heard all this before. Nothing new here. The reason why you're hearing it again is because as the year goes on, as the year winds up, life gets busy, busier and busier. It gets full of work and family and holidays and entertainment and the tour down under and the cricket and the Australian Open and so on. Full of stuff. In the busyness of life, we can easily forget about God and we can drift off into some kind of spiritual slumber. So, listen to Jesus' call. It's time to wake up, time to get up, time to live the new life that you've received in baptism, time to pray, your kingdom come, time to go fishing for the lost. The Bible says, blessed are all those who hear the word of God and obey it. May that blessing be for you. And for me. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. Help us to put it in our minds and in our hearts and follow it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.